Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Danny Cola. Today's guest on the podcast is Fabio Zonin. He is a Strong First certified master kettlebell instructor. He is a former powerlifter, natural bodybuilder, and owner of several fitness clubs in the last 20 years. He was the former vice president of the Italian Association of Natural Bodybuilding. And has trained many athletes at the national and international level for natural bodybuilding, powerlifting, and other sports. He also teaches kettlebell seminars for Strong First all over the world. And I was able to connect with Fabio in Italy last year at the Human Fit Project Fitness Retreat, where he did a four-hour kettlebell certification. In this podcast, we go over a lot about the fitness culture, the fitness industry in Italy, or overseas internationally, and we kind of compare it to what the culture is like here in the United States. We also talk about the differences in kettlebell styles and how Human Fit Project fitness retreats are bringing people together from all walks of life in the fitness industry and talking about most of the things we have in common to bring people together and teach some of this stuff to general population and athletes and what have you, and not necessarily so much hold ownership over a particular practice, which you kind of learn and see that exists in the fitness industry. So it was really cool to pick Fabio's brain about his experience thus far teaching kettlebells, being in the industry for the last, you know, 3 decades, it seems like. So it was a fun podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure to subscribe, like, and share this episode with somebody that you love. Also, check out the information on Human Fit Project. This fitness retreat takes place for 5 days in Vieste, Puglia, which is in southern Italy. Take the hero's journey, get yourself out there, meet some people along the way, and learn several unconventional fitness techniques that you can bring back to your local community and impact them in the way that you do. All right, without further ado, enjoy this podcast. All right, what's up, everybody? My name is Danny Cola. Thank you so much for joining. Here I have Fabio Zonin, CEO of Strong First, kettlebell coach. And I'm joined also with Maurizio Tangari, the inventor of the Hydro Core, and most recently the Hydra water tool, which is now on Amazon. So guys out there, girls that are coaching and training, there's a lot of cool fitness tools out there. And I've been using the Hydra Core and Hydra now for a little while. And I love some of the uniqueness that it brings. So guys, thank you so much for joining me. Welcome. Good afternoon. Good morning.
Good morning to you, I believe, and both you and Maurizio, right? And good evening for me.
Yeah, I love it. I love connecting with people around the world. We're here in this, internet chat room here, and we're all across the world. You know, we're in Italy, we're in San Diego, I'm in Chicago, and we get to meet here easier than ever, and it's just cool as hell. So, Fabio, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're a busy guy. Let's chat a little bit about, some of your background. I know you're an amazing kettlebell coach. I got to experience some of your coaching at Human Fit in Vieste. I've actually intermingled and connected with so many Strong First kettlebell coaches here in Chicago the last several years. It's a very well-known organization. There's a lot of skilled people that I've kind of come across. So talk to me a little bit about your involvement with Strong First and how that came about.
Well, it came by chance, actually. So my background has been in powerlifting and bodybuilding. I started lifting 40 years ago, almost 41, back in 1983. So, and I did my very first powerlifting meet in 1985. So,
okay,
been lifting barbells for my entire life, basically, since I have memory. And I was, of course, I've been passionate about my own training, but at a certain point, I found out by pure chance that I was a decent teacher. So I was involved by the Italian Federation of Fitness for almost 20 years as one of their instructors to educational, they run educational courses for personal trainings, personal trainers and, instructors and so on and so forth. So I worked for them for many years. And when I started, when I discovered kettlebells in the early 2000s, I started using kettlebells for myself. I actually didn't want to make that a job. but my personal thing, you know. So I started training with kettlebells. I attended a few workshops with several folks, and including Pavel. And then I got RKC certified at the time, the board of the RKC. And I was asked by the Italian Federation of Fitness to, you know, conduct the certifications for kettlebells, and I refused because I said, no, this is going to be my amusement park. You know, I don't want to teach you this. I just want to have fun with them. But somehow at the end, you know, Pavel decided to promote me team leader back in the RKC days, and I started teaching kettlebells. I was involved with RKC first and Strong First. And I don't know how, but right now I'm one of their masters, and I'm pretty much teaching kettlebells, barbells, and body weight worldwide for
That's
RKC.
amazing. Let's retrack here. Now, you talked about, you said you were good at teaching. I too have this passion for it, and it typically came about just because I was lucky enough to have several amazing coaches and mentors in my life, and I actually seek that out today. I seek different types of mentors based on the whatever scenario I'm in my life, and I try to seek out as much knowledge as possible. So talk to me a little bit about your love for teaching and where that came from, and who were some of your first influences and mentors that you might have influenced you to keep doing this?
Interesting. My parents, because my mother used to be an English teacher at school, at high school and then university, and my dad was a math teacher. So I've been dealing with teachers for an entire life. And when I was involved as an athlete, I ended up, you know, helping coaching my teammates. And then the head coach found out that I was good in providing instructions and sharing, you know, had a decent cold chai. And so he started involving me. I was studying something totally different in school. I studied electronic engineering, and then I went to pharmacy. So totally different stuff. So I was not supposed to do that as a job. But turned out that, you know, I started coaching, and it came out well, and feedback was good. And I started enjoying it so much. And at a certain point, I said, you know what? This is what I want to do. And so I started, you know, being a coach at some gyms as a part-time job in the evenings, you know, and then gradually I got into it. And again, by pure chance, you know, I was a student for the Italian Federation of Fitness to become an instructor. And I got a letter. There was no emails at the time. I got a letter from some certain point said, you got a good score, very good score, and you did well in your exams, and we're looking for new cooperators and folks who are willing to work for us. Would you like to be involved? And you know, initially I said, oh, I'm not able to do this, so I just trashed the letter. But then by a chance I got to meet one of the head coaches for the Italian Federation of Fitness. Simply because I was bodybuilding at the time, and I was looking for a coach, and I ended up being coached by him, and he started involving me, like saying, "Oh, I have a cert this weekend. Would you like to come and assist and help me with the practical sessions?" So it all started gradually, you know, by pure chance, and someone thought I was good enough to do it, and they involved me more and more and more. And at a certain point, I just, from a part-time job, it became my full-time job, and actually, I don't consider it a job. It's what I really like to do. I enjoy it. So I'm lucky enough to, you know, live out of my passion. So I consider myself one of the luckiest persons in the world.
Yeah, that's
Yes.
cool. So you were, you've grown up in Italy, and you've done a lot of your career in Italy. And it's interesting, like I would never have thought of training as a career myself. My dad and basically my entire family also lived in Italy for a long time. And then my dad moved in the United States in the late 80s. And then he too started to realize, hey, you're pretty good at this. Why don't you think about this as a career? But I don't know, like growing up, if I told my dad I was going to go see a trainer to improve my shape or whatever, he'd be like, what are you doing? Who's your trainer? I'm your trainer. How much you got to pay for that? And it's just interesting to me that, I never saw, I never thought about it as a full-time career, but I got into it right away at 18 years old. And, I love every second of it and the entire journey, just teaching in general. It's very re rewarding. And
It's amazing. So talk to me a little bit about the culture of fitness in Italy. I remember going to a gym in Italy back in 07 when I went on vacation, and it was nothing like any of the high-end gyms that I was brought up in when I was starting to come up, the Equinoxes, the high-end gyms of the world, Fitness Formula Club, which is a branch here in Chicago. Talk to me a little bit about the fitness culture in Italy compared to the United States. I mean, there was a big boom with the bodybuilding in the 70s, but it's much, much bigger now. So talk to me a little bit about the culture back then in the 80s and how it's kind of evolved over time.
It's interesting because pretty much the ongoing of the events has been very similar to the US, only like delayed by 10 years.
Okay. That makes sense.
But the main difference, so when, you know, bodybuilding culture started in the 70s in the US, probably, you know, when Arnold was
right,
became famous and so on. And all the movies, you know, with Rambo, Stallone and Arnold and so on. And it landed in Italy slightly later for one reason. You know, at the time there was no internet. We only had magazines. I recall that when I was going to the gym, you know, it was all word of mouth how you coach people. We had no magazines. We only had a couple of magazines in Italy, which were very local and was pretty much mostly a report of competitions. Maurizio, I'm sure, remembers one, like Cultura Fisica. And so when we had someone who had a chance to go to US and bring down a magazine, you know, a US magazine, we would all, you know, copy the plans and so on. So everything arrived delayed. So right now, if you publish a book, it's available everywhere worldwide.
Yeah.
So everything, information, you know, travels as fast as light. At the time, before something that was born in the US was imported in Europe and in Italy, it took some time. And also those, the few who had got to do, to be involved, exposed to this knowledge, it would take time to share it.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, no internet, no emails, no cell phones, word of mouth. I mean, we had one phone home. If you weren't home, they couldn't reach out to you, right?
Right.
So you could only rely on paperbacks, you know, books were already old. So by the time something came out in the US, it was translated and published in original language, and also the original language, in Italian language, and also the original language publications. Think about this, not everyone could read and write in English. So everything was delayed, but pretty much the history is pretty much the same, just delayed. The only difference where I see it is the fact that in the US, there's so many chains. Something that amazes me when I go in the US, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm east or west or so on. I drive down the road, you see the same restaurants, the same chains, you know, mm-hmm. the same department stores and so on. If you go in Italy, you still find the family-run restaurants, and the food changes from town to town. There's still the local culture and so on. Chains has never become so popular in European culture. I mean, if you think about it, in my town, I'm in a small town close to Venice, but we have three McDonald's in the entire town with 150,000, you know, people living here. Only three McDonald's, and we have no Starbucks. And and Maurizio knows very well, I was in Vieste with him, you know, this summer, and there's nothing like that. And in Italy, less than other countries. I mean, I go to Poland, I go to other parts of Europe, and I find Starbucks, I find, you know, Burger King, I find several chains. They never became so famous here in Italy, and this applies also to the gym. For some reason, we're still related and stuck to our culture, the local culture, and so on. So we have a number of big chains that have been developing here in Italy in the past probably 10 years. 10, 15 years ago, you wouldn't find a gym chain. You would find a gym. So local gym, run with the local owner, and with his philosophy, his ideas, and so on. So there was a lot of heterogeneity in teaching and strategies and tools and so on. And also, which made it interesting, the formula is different. In the US, you go LA Fitness, you go, you know, you go Equinox, you go everywhere. You pay fee to access the gym. Then you need to hire a coach. I mean, you access the gym, you don't get a coach included in the fee, right? You go there and you can train. But if you want to have a personal trainer, you need to make an agreement with a personal trainer or so on. Or you need to buy a program or purchase a package or whatever. And the gym, the way they've been run in Italy seems, you know, for decades, and most of them are still like that. You go to the gym, and in your monthly fee or quarterly fee or whatever, you have the instructor included, which means register, you get an appointment with your instructor. Yeah, he or she will train you for the first session, will design a program for you, and will change a program for you every 6 to 8 weeks or whatever. So it's a different approach. It's a different approach.
What do you think about that? And like, how much does something go for? And do you feel like that's successful? Or do you feel like that kind of model is holding the culture back and not allowing it to grow and scale?
There's upsides and downsides of this. And by the way, now we start having personal trainers, but mostly in big towns. If you go to small towns, people don't have the mindset yet to invest $500, $1,000, you know, in a month for a personal training session.
Yeah, right.
Which sounds weird to me. Think about this. Now, in the U.S., no one smokes. In Italy, you know, in Europe, there are many people who still smoke or, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking some people are willing to pay, you know, €5, which is, you know, $6, $5.5. Let's say $5 a day for a packet of cigarette, which is $150 a month for cigarettes, but have a hard time spending $150 a month to pay for a gym, which is interesting, right? So upsides and downsides. Upsides is that people are never left alone in the gym. You know, you don't find... I enjoy sometimes watching YouTube or TikTok, you know, those videos of people doing crazy things, funny things in the gym, because they have no one looking after them, you know, if they just do crazy stuff. So on one end, you get a little bit of control, and there is a lot of, you build some relationship with the gym owners, with the coaches and so on. You have some guidelines, let's say, on one end. On the other end, of course, you got to be lucky and get to a gym where you get the right coaches who have a good education, know what they're doing. So upsides and downsides. On the other end, you know, this has probably killed the business for the gyms in Italy. Let me explain. Right now, imagine this. If you pay, I don't know, $100 a month to access a gym, and that's all you get, you access the gym, and then the gym, you know, sells additional services like personal training and so on, the gym can be a fruitful business. But if, as when I used to have my gym, you know, people pay you 75, 85, 100 euros a month, which includes your services as an instructor, trust me, you're not making money out of it.
Right.
So the gym business, the fitness business in Italy, it has been really poor. It means that the gyms that could thrive and survive were the small gyms run by the owner, who was also the instructor, who would be the guy who does the cleaning and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Now with the chains that started opening right now with the same model as in the US, things have been changing on one end. On the other end, there's still people who don't feel like they are willing to pay for the services of a personal trainer, a qualified instructor and so on. And they just go to the gym and do crazy stuff. That's the problem. So every system has some upsides and downsides. Okay. It is interesting how it developed differently in Italy and pretty much the rest of the world.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's in a delay. It's a delayed, right? So like it still takes time for this stuff, for more and more people to understand some of the ebbs and flows and the patterns of the industry. You know, I've been in it for 17 years all in the United States, and I've seen how things kind of ebb and flow in different times of the year, different times the economy kind of goes through. Things fluctuate. Big gyms take big hits, and some of those trainers, they go to smaller places, and some of those small places are fine, and then people want more money, and then those small people, those trainers, they leave those small gyms and go open up their other gym, a new gym, and then those people follow them, and these the same kind of patterns happen over and over and over again. And it's really interesting to get this perspective from, you know, an international view, just to understand how the world works.
We're just getting more synced now.
Again, yeah.
10 years ago, 15 years ago, we were delayed. Now it looks like we're catching up now.
Got it.
And
yeah.
Same reason for which the three of us are on a call. We're in three different parts of the world at the same time. People will be able to listen to us speak at the same time. This wasn't possible.
Right.
20 years ago, this wasn't probably possible or that common 5 years ago, even before the pandemic. You know.
Yeah, definitely not common for sure.
I was having this conversation yesterday with a friend of mine. You have a gym in Foggia, which is 1 hour from Vieste. It's a big gym, one of the biggest gym in the south of Italy. It's like the module, you mean, is like, I don't know, the restaurant. It's like a big franchise gym, but, you know, with some Italian kick inside. They have a restaurant with healthy food and pool where people can hang out in Speedo and swim, things like that. So, and he has spa, everything. He was telling me that he struggled to have people. I mean, I didn't ask about personal training, how much it costs. How much, you know how much it costs personal training in Italy, Fabio? You have any idea how much?
It's very areas, changes from area to area.
Yeah,
the average one. The more you go in big towns and the more you go north, the more it alineates, it gets in line with the US. The more you go to small towns, the more you go south, the lower are the price. I'll give you an example. Here in my town, a personal trainer, hourly fee ranges from 40 to 70 euros per session. If you go down south in Sicily, for instance, or down in Naples, you average from 25 euros to 40 euros. Okay. And if you go to Rome, you may pay 150 euros.
For wow. Mm. Okay.
It changes so much. And again, it's the culture. Think about this. We have one interesting parameter to see how is the economy of one specific area of Italy, which is the cost of one coffee. Maurizio remembers that a coffee used to be 1,000 lira, pretty much, dollar, right?
Yeah.
And if you went north, you would pay 1,000. If you went down south, you would pay 500. You would pay half of it. And right north, a coffee here is ranges from 1.20 euro to 1.50 euro. If you go down south, you can still get a coffee for 70 cents. So pretty much.
Yeah.
And that tells you about the economy, local economy, and the price.
Yeah.
Tells you also about how much the coffee, how much people are willing to stay, to spend. The more you go in big towns, which are exposed to globalization, the more people understand the importance of their health and well-being and are willing to invest in fitness and so on. The more you go into rural places, you know, old-fashioned towns, which are not exposed to globalization, the more people still think, you know, that to be healthy, they need to go for a walk or they need to chop woods or something like that. You know, because in Vieste, we saw all of that, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, you're going back 30 years in certain areas over there.
Yeah. It's interesting, this conversation, because my friend, he really struggled with the personal training. I mean, they don't really do personal training. So he created this formula to keep the trainers he have in the gym, because he does group class, blah, blah. So basically, it's weird. I mean, when he was telling me this thing, it was weird the way he created this concept. So he does this prepaid card. And then now it kind of, you know, speaking up again with the client paying, because he does this card, you can charge the card, let's say $150, whatever. You can put the amount of money you want inside. So any service you use in the gym, you got to detract the money you have there. And so to the bar or whatever, right? And also in the fitness room, the people, they have, you know, the card. I don't know how you like regulate these things here. So they say they have like one trainer into the fitness room. So that trainer give attention only all the people they have this thing. So if there's another person, you know what I'm saying? It's a freaking weird concept. That was say like, this is so weird. I say, it work? I mean, yeah, it work better than, you know, people paying every month like $200-$300. So they put whatever money they have, and you know, they use the service they need it, you know. And say, man, if it worked for you, happy for you. Matter of fact, he's making an app about it. He's trying to sell to other gym academy the same module, because for his experience, his feedback for other business owners like him, they struggle for that. Nobody does personal training rarely. So the trainers really, that's damage, you know, the fitness industry. Because if a personal trainer start believing that's not a real job, I mean, we're going to go back like 40 years right away with the gym, with a guy at the door, and we'll do whatever you want, right? So there'll be no education, no monitoring, no understanding about, you know, movement or tools. That will damage the fitness industry in Europe, or in Italy, I'm saying, you know?
And the main problem is, this is the point, if the user does not perceive the personal trainer as a professional, and doesn't understand that they do need a coach or a personal trainer, then coaches and personal training cannot do this as a primary job. They may do it at part-time or secondary job, which means they don't make a living out of it, which means they don't invest in education. So it's the entire ball rolls, right, in the wrong direction.
It's all connected, yeah.
All connected. If you can make a business out of your coaching skills and you can live out of it, you will invest to be a coach and to have more clients and so on and so forth. So this tendency is changing in Italy right now, but it's still in certain areas. In other areas, we're still we're still behind. So we're gradually catching up. I'm hoping that it will catch up, you know, more.
Fabio, talk to me a little bit about your experience with when you owned your gym. This is a question I like to ask a lot of gym owners who had gyms and then got out of it. What was like your experience like, and what made you want to exit owning a gym?
Well, you know, it's interesting because at a certain point in my life, I owned three gyms.
Okay.
And the interesting part, well, actually, I was partnering three gyms, but I was managing, so I was the main owner, one of them. The other one was just a partner, and they were structured completely different. One was like a Tiger's Den, you know. It was a gym focused on serious, you know, powerlifting, bodybuilding, and so on. Very small gym, so when I had a team, you know, we'd do competitions, you know, and so on and so forth. So it was one type of gym. The other one was a fairly big gym for general public, and it was business. He had also a spa, a tanning center inside, you know, offered different services. And the other one was just pretty much in between, but also had some martial arts and other, you know, other activities. And I enjoyed a lot coaching. So that was my part. I didn't like the admin part of it, but they were successful, so I was happy with it. But the reason for which I ended up not, you know, getting out of the gym, which I sold the last gym in 2008, so quite a few years ago. And I opened my first gym in, I think it was, pretty sure it was 1991. So I had gym for many years. And the reason for which I gave up was simply because my other job, so over the weekend, I was teaching for the Italian Federation of Fitness, grew more and more and more. So they would task me more, giving more certification courses to take care of, to handle. And I needed to be more and more updated. And I wanted also to start traveling and get international education. I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be good in my field. I wanted to have top information. So of course, all the week in the gym, and then the weekends teaching courses and then studying, and it was too much. And at a certain point, you know, initially my revenue was coming from the gyms, and I had this extra, you know, teaching over the weekends. And gradually things changed, right? And I realized also one thing, I love teaching. I really love teaching. And the gym was partially teaching, but mostly taking care of headaches. You know, if you own a gym, you have admin headaches.
I completely understand what you're saying.
So I, at a certain point, I said, I'm not enjoying teaching anymore because I don't have time to do what I want, which is teach. I'm becoming a manager, which is not what I want to do. I want to be a teacher. And the other job was growing. And so at a certain point, I said, okay, I don't want, I'm getting out of the gyms. Gyms were good because they were a good benchmark for me because I would test things that I could teach over the weekends.
So it was necessary.
Up to a certain point. But then, you know, the courses I would teach became more and more specific, more technical, not for general gym owners or gym coaches. And also, so I didn't need the benchmark of the gym anymore on one end. And on the other end, I was realizing that I was not able to do what I loved. Right now, you know, what I do is basically I live out of my passion, which is the best thing ever. So I don't regret having giving up the gym, even though I do miss some parts of it. You know,
yeah, for sure.
I am an OCD guy, and very, you know. So I used to like to do all the maintenance of my machines, of the weights, clean them, change the setup of the gym once in a while. You know, experiment things, have custom made tools. I enjoyed that part. You know? That exploring, you know, and also working with certain clients, you know, special population or something, get the results, gathering some stats on what worked best. I had a great way, you know, to test things out. I do miss that part. I don't miss the admin part, doing the accounting, you know, dealing with employees and so on. I don't miss that part at all.
Yeah, I always like to ask this question because it's, you know, I like to hear what some of the professionals who've done it for a long time kind of go through the ups and downs. You know, there's so much that you're responsible for and it does test you and you do learn so much. But I'm realizing there's like a 12-year average where people own gyms and then they get out. And, you know, I'm 4 years into working for myself, 3 years here at my own gym. And I start to think ahead, you know, how many more years do I want to do this? What is the out? You know, how do I set that up? What's the other thing that I go into? So it's a very interesting question just to kind of hear some perspective from other people. So
I like this conversation because this year at Human Fit, we're going to have everyday speakers. So every day we're going to kind of, you know, have different topics. One of the topics I put on the list is this, since, you know, we have Fabio, that's a gym owner, and you, Danny, and Junior, and Mallory. So there's a George Anthony. So there's a bunch of people that have been in the gym. They had ups and downs. Some of them had to close the gym because, you know, for different reasons. But it is good to talk about this because, there will be coach there, or people that are thinking about it, or people maybe are in a stage, like you just said, Danny, you say, man, I have the gym from almost 10 years. Do I keep doing this? I want to shift towards something else. You know, I want to do something different, or I stick with the gym, or maybe just coaching, or maybe a creative system and things like that. And, you know, each one of us has a different experience. You know, I never had a gym, and I have no desire to have a gym because I see more as a taking time or things I like to do, like traveling, you know, be with my family a lot, teaching around, you know, this is something that I really enjoy to do it. And I feel like, you know, I don't feel like I want to be having this umbilical cord hold me back. And it's not like I'm afraid of responsibility to own a business, but it's just that I like to move around a lot.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing. But this is a nice conversation. And for sure, we will bring you on the stage, Fabio, with other gym owner to talk about it. It will be very interesting.
You know, there's not one way to do it, right? There's many ways to skin a cat. And there's also some similar ways that really work. And, you know, when you have a system in place that really works, maybe it could allow you to take a few months away. You know, Junior is coming up with a really interesting idea and is kind of implementing it now the last few years, being the main guy at Pacific Beach and then handing the keys over to another highly skilled person who's very motivated, who's been running the show. Yeah. And then he's freed up to, you know, travel, do more workshops, live in another state, enjoy his time the way he wants to enjoy his time based on all the work he's already put in. So there are ways that you can systemize things to take some time away. And those are also good things to chat about too when we all get together. Now, speaking of traveling, there was a melting pot of people at Human Fit in 2023 this last May. There was people from all over the world. There was Italians, there was Americans, French, you know, people from China. What am I missing? All over the States, Poland.
Spain, everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, there was so many people there. Yeah. And right. Spain, UK. And then we were all there organizing. And maybe 5-10 years ago, it wasn't very prevalent for people to travel to do higher levels of education. But as the word travels faster, now you're getting this flux of people from all over Europe meeting in a specific spot, a novel-like place, learning some of these modalities, these unique ways. And I can see it only growing from here. Maurizio, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking to do something like this, you know, a lot in the past. But I did a lot of research because, the idea of a fitness retreat is fun. But what I realized at the end of the fitness retreat, everything is over. You don't bring back anything. The people go fitness retreat, okay, they do yoga, they do workout, they have a nice vacation and things like that. But at the end of the fitness retreat, I realized they don't bring back information or tools that keep them going. Or they don't bring back the community. Most of the people that go fitness retreat, they're more people that are passionate about fitness or because they drag there from a main coach. And so they keep doing what the coach that dragged them there, the same thing, right? So that was my idea. I say, man, I want to do something different. I wonder when people go back home, bring back something, bring back a tool, bring back information, bring back the sense of community and connect with different coaches, not just my say, bring different style. It's like, you know, okay, last year we had the Fabio with the amazing concept of Strong First. And this year we're going to have a Jared with the Kelba Flow, which is be amazing, you know, like, oh, there's so many way to use a Kelba. Last year we had Mark with the Kelba. This year we're gonna have Alberto with the Kelba, which, you know, slightly different style and concept, you know, application, mental, the way Alberto approached the training or the club specifically is more connected to, say, jiu-jitsu, soft defense, you know, martial arts, you know. So, I mean, for me, all this difference, you know, just can bring more ideas, you know, more understanding about the tool can be used in so many different ways, right? You know, the creativity of this coach, that was amazing. So that's why I see potential. I see we can grow. Already had a conversation with Onnit about organizing one here in San Diego to get them more involved. It's not simple because, you know, gather all this coach. And I mean, I'm so blessed to have this coach, and they do it for passion. They just want to come. They just want to participate. I mean, I'm so blessed. I met Fabio, and by chance, you know, such an amazing guy. He just said, oh, yeah, I want to be there. Like this. You know, I said, okay. Oh, really? Okay, come down. He had an amazing time. And he came back again for vacation. And this year, when he was there in vacation, said, okay, when we do next one? When we do next one? Said, man, he's so excited. His excitement bring me excitement. You know, say, see, maybe I'm doing the right thing. To have like this, such a positive feedback from a person that is in the such a well-known and respectful, and he kind of, you know, pushed me to do this more, right? You know, that's amazing.
Because as you, I see the potential. And as you know, I was in Poland, right? I came from Poland.
Oh, man.
From Venice to Vieste, did my lesson and drove back to Poland for another event. But I wanted to be there. I said, I want to be there. And I wanted to be there and I came. But I thought, this is the amazing thing. So now we have been, you know, during the pandemic, we got used to be on Zoom for everything, which we discovered as such a valuable tool, you know, working online, be connected online. We did learn a lot of lessons from the pandemic that we can apply now. However, there's nothing like meeting in person.
Right.
First, on a technical standpoint, because there's no way you can see on Zoom what you see in person, and you can share what you can share in person. You can see people moving from all angles. You can use your coach eye. You can analyze movement. You can provide direct feedback. It's totally different. It's it's another level first. But second, you build community and relationships. You realize that people who, if you read what they write on the internet, you know, on their social or articles, you think those guys disagree. You put them together and you realize that they just speak a slightly different language, you know, but the principles are the same and they agree. And you find how there is not right or wrong. There are different points of view and they can integrate together, and how different styles and different methodologies can really integrate. You would never be able to see this if you don't gather all together and get a chance to teach, work together. So being the student of one of my colleagues when my colleague presents, and having my colleague be my student when I present, this is how you learn. You don't only grow personally, you make the entire industry grow, right? You come home that you're enriched, but not only participants, also coaches. Coaches come home that they've been growing. People grow, and interestingly, I didn't tell you this, Maurizio, but this is so great. You remember we had that crazy lady from Hong Kong, Tracy.
Tracy, yeah. Tracy.
So I went to teach a barbell certification for Strong First in Taiwan, and she was there.
Yeah, so I saw that.
With cannibals, and she ended up being my student in Taiwan, right?
I saw that. That was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, the amazing thing is that I have met some folks there, including you and your business partner, you know, that we made friends and we gathered and we met again for vacation. And I'm going to be there next week. We involve Roberto. We involve each one of us has other contacts, connections. We involve other people. So we make this grow. But I'm sure I came back not only super excited, but enriched. You know, I learned a lot when I came there. I know this year I will learn more and I will be able to share more of my knowledge, you know, so each and every one of us will come home after this year with new tools in a toolbox, and our students will get way more. And so we can only grow. I believe in this project so much.
I want to say that this year we bring Alberto down more with the barbell. So last year was the kettlebell, but this year you're gonna show some unrack stuff with the barbell. So I'm so excited about that because I want to see, you know, from his experience, his knowledge, because that's your background, right? Like you say.
And by the way, this is the interesting part. Now, and in a different world, kettlebell guy would say, oh no, you're not, I'm not coming, you're not calling someone else teaching kettlebells, kettlebell's my stuff, you know. And the barbell guy would say, no, I'm the barbell guy, I'm the clubbell guy. That's wrong, you know. I mean, I taught kettlebells, so the participants being exposed to my style, what I carry on for Strong First last year, can be nothing better than bringing someone else teaching different style with the same tool and see different perspective. Right. And someone else was involved with barbell and landmines last year. I'm teaching barbells this year, and so on. So if this is the way as we can be exposed to different styles, and we can each one of us can learn from each other. And again, if the coaches learn, the students learn even more. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting because, I mean, obviously we can learn from each other, you know. Do I need to learn to do more barbell? I mean, no, but I want to learn from you. I want to see what's your take, your background and experience. Probably is the 1% I can put in my my knowledge that can help me more, right? But you know, going back what you say about the thing that another thing is about organizing this event here, and then I've been in so many workshops. Probably you, Danny, you've been in the past so many workshops, certification, and this and that. It's always like calm, touch, and go. You're so focused on learning, and they're destroyed. You go to a hotel, just go for dinner and sleep. And you have 2 days because everything happened in a weekend, and then you have to zoom out and fly, catch the airplane, right? That's why I say, man, you got to take your time. If you're going to come down, you got to take your time, because it's okay learning, but you know, I want you to meet the coach. I want to sit, have supper with the coach and see his personality, see his thing. That was the main thing, man. I have to say, Junior and Mallory, they didn't like each other. When
really?
When I invited them, yeah, man, it was crazy. Junior and Mallory had a big, like, you know, misunderstanding on social media and talking, and Junior to block Mallory and things like that. And, you know, but, you know, they, you know, say, listen, you know, put your things aside, come down, you know, it's okay. You got guys, when you come down, you got to see each other in a different way. Now they fucking love each other.
Yeah.
Crazy. You know, it's amazing. Yeah. They're always constantly in touch and sending tools and, you know, talking and see, oh, when you come down.
Yeah.
Even they told me they want to buy a house and be together.
Yeah. And well, See that? Mallory's been a huge proponent of Landmine U and has hosted several events at his gyms in San Francisco
since then. That's what I'm saying. You know, people already start because of this social media thing, you know, they say, oh, I see the personality of a person. Unless I mean, for me, it's different. I post stupid shit all the time, you know, Danny. You know,
yeah,
the kind of people
course.
Can sense this, you know,
of
my
course.
Personality. But, you know, sometimes the coach page is so dark straight and teaching and things like that. You don't see anything. Don't give any space for understanding more. And then this event, like Human Fit specific, that's what I want. Man, let go, have a drink, relax, you know. Get out from the coaching, you know, that's what I wanted. You have time. When Fabio came back, you know, obviously, you know, he just stayed like very quick and go, but already the impression, the feeling, and everybody loved him and said, man, it's such a great guy. Me and Mike were talking, such a great dude. When he came back in I think July, I don't remember when you came back we spent time together. We went for dinner and party and things. He came with my family. We had such a great time. So it's kind of, you know, I kind of miss him. I want to see him again, you know, yesterday, and have the great time we had, like, you know, when he came more relaxed for vacation, you know?
Yeah. You know, and this is one of the crucial differences that this event, that makes this event unique. Because, you know, it's usually when we go for learning experiences or teaching, it's just touch and go. You fly, you're jet lag, you teach or are a student, you know, and just you go back, you have time for a quick dinner or just a quick talk and so on. But spending, you know, a week together and spending some relaxed times, taking it easy, you know, first you can be more focused both when you attend and when you teach, but then also you create some relationships, you create some community. But those relationships is not only about, you know, creating new friends, it's the fact that you keep connected and you start sharing information. The example you brought up with Junior, you know, it's a perfect example. You had two folks who wouldn't talk to each other, and now they share information, they cooperate. You know what this does to the industry? It makes the industry grow. It's good.
Oh, yeah.
It's good for them. It's good for the industry. It's good for the coaches. It's good for the system. It's good for the students. So creating this, you know, a situation in which people can really live together for 1 week, in addition to sharing information, makes this event so unique. You know.
Oh yeah, what you're talking about there is. No, go ahead, Mauricio.
Yeah, well, you know, the only thing that made it a little bit sad was I think this year will be different. You know, I don't know why, for some reason, we didn't have big response from the Italian community. And they were looking like, you know, I don't need to do this. I don't know, this is stupid, whatever it is, blah, blah, and things like that. But I see things changing, thanks also the Mike, what he's doing with the Human Fit in Motion. He's doing like every month, I believe, an appointment in Italy where he show the modality that we will have eventually at Human Fit. So it's specifically happening in Italy. So I think that this year will be different. Last year we had also some coach, you know, from the Italian community. They told the coach to don't come to the event, which is weird. I mean, it made me feel sad in some way, because I mean, any one of us go there with his own like time and spend and everything. Not that we get a lot, like, you know, anything big out of it, you know, financially, you know what I'm saying? So it's weird, because we're trying to create all together. It's not because I had that idea with Mike, is my event. You know, I want to be our event. I want to give space to anyone. And that's why this year I say I want to listen them talk professionally about the experience on the gym, but also we're going to have a section where we're gonna speak more about, for instance, this Francesca, you know, the girl that lost the leg during the accident, how she got back in a training and she kept the motivation, the passion going, even, you know, missing one leg now after the accident. Or people like Jared Cardone. Jared Cardone is always talking about this problem with obesity. He was obese. He was like struggling with obesity. And now he's one of the most successful coach in US with Kettlebell Flow. And, you know, he shaped his mind and his body. First his mind and then his body. I think it would be greater. There'll be greater motivational talk from people. I mean, there's also people that I know, I don't want to say now, you know, I want to see if they're willing to share this with depression. Depression, and they always tell me, man, training has saved my life. Being the gym, coaching, you saved my life. So these are kind of conversations I'm looking for. This type of conversation you're never going to see on social media, or just people do it for social media attention or for like. In this case, there will be no like. There will be just sharing your story, and hopefully your story will encourage people to do the right things. That's what I wanted.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, in Italy, unfortunately, we're still closed-minded. So the novelty scares people. You know, this is why, you know, I'm not surprised some coaches said, oh, don't go there, because they're scared, you know. They're afraid, oh, those guys are going to take something away from me. Going to take something away from my yard. They want to take my students away. When they see, I realize it's not dangerous, but it's good for everyone, they will send people. It's just gradual, you know.
Totally.
Yeah, it's at least still old culture, not really open-minded. It takes some time, you know.
Yeah. So one week after the Human Fit, there was this big fitness expo in Italy called, was it Rimini Wellness, something like that, Wellness, right? Yeah, and I don't know if you know about that, Danny. So it's like, you know, kind of, you know, like, let's say, here's, let's say, you know, like FIBO, but smaller, right, in Italy. So where, you know, everybody go there, you know, you've been to fitness expo, so you know what I'm talking about, right? The tools and modality and things like that. It's interesting that Junior, he prolonged his stay, and because his family came, and then so he stayed 1 week more. So it was happening during the week of this fitness expo, and so we were. I mean, I don't remember. Oh, Mike told me that. So Mike said, "Hey, look, now they're doing landmine at Rimini Wellness, they never did landmine there, you know? So, I mean, there was not the landmine system, but they were showing some landmine things, you know? and from one of this coach, I don't remember his name, and which happened to be the coach that holded back his trainers to come to the event. Okay, so he was doing landmine there. So I said, look, this dude, I mean, he's doing that. I mean, I'm you know what I say, Mike? I'm happy. So at least there is a start. At least they do something. So Junior, what he did, because he's above everything, he reached out to this guy. He said, hey, he sent a message on Instagram and say, hey, man, you know, I said, do landmine. I'm a coach, blah, blah. Maybe, you know, we can get together. I can show you some stuff. And you know, Junior, he didn't say because he wanted to workshop. He just say, hey, I'm in Italy. If you want, I can show you more stuff so you can bring on your coach this thing. He never answered.
It is. You know, to me, when this happens, it's not that it's a sign of weakness. Now, if, let's say, I coach some guys, right, with kettlebells, some folks with kettlebells. I encourage them to go and listen to someone else. I will encourage my guys to come and to Human Fit, you know, and attend the lessons of the presenter this year. Now, I know that if I am afraid to send someone to some other coaches, it means that I'm not sure. I'm afraid yet a coach will do better than me. I know that I can do the best I can with my style. But guess what? They will have something to learn from others. And this will increase the respect they have for me. Right? Totally. I shouldn't be afraid to send them to someone else and hear someone else's take or hear about their style and so on. May I lose some students? May they decide, oh, I want to do that style. I like that better, more appropriate for me. Yes, may happen. But guess what? I'll get some others, you know, that like myself, whatever. And again, sharing information, we can learn from each other. So the mindset of creating those closed environments, either you're with me or you're against me, it's should be just part of an old past. You know?
Totally. But well, I think what we're talking about here is like abundance mindset versus scarcity mindset. And when we have the abundance mindset approach, everybody wins, you know? I think what Joe Rogan's doing in the comedy scene in Austin is an example of abundance mindset. And he's one of the biggest podcasters in the world, like the biggest guy, creating this network of comedians in Austin where everyone's promoting everybody and everyone's pushing each other to become better. And the result is more people are interested in comedy, and he's fostering this beautiful community. And I think Human Fit and conversations like this are what we're trying to do with the fitness industry and connect everybody together, because at the end of the day, we're all going to be sharpened up. And I'll tell you what, and something that I've seen being in the industry for a long time is that the same guys that are going to go to workshops to go see Mark Wildman are the same guys that are going to go see Flowing Dutchman, or the same guys that are going to go see Leo. They're the same guys that are going to go see Alberto Galazzi. They don't give a shit who is doing what or whatever. They're going to go because they're interested in the tool. They're interested in the concepts and they're interested in the variety in the way that they can teach it. So it's not like anybody's losing anything when they say, don't go to that guy. They're just having that scarcity mindset, and they're going to be the ones being not taking advantage of some of the cool stuff that are going on now. So, you know, abundance mindset is, I think, is what we're talking about here. And the more people we get involved, the more modalities, the way, the different philosophies, the better we're all going to be at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
So I want to respect everybody's time. We're just about to hit an hour here. Maurizio, do you have anything to leave anybody with where they can find information about Human Fit? And then after that, Fabio, you can go ahead and leave information on where people can find more information about you and Strong First.
So Human Fit, like www.humanfit.it, you know, we already start getting a reservation. A lot of people start booking for coming to Italy to the event, so you can go there and book your ticket to come to the event, and this year will be just so much fun. I promise it will be great. You know, we have already all the people from last year already booked to come, so this is amazing. So I think this year will be, I mean, I can't wait, to be honest.
I share the same feeling. And as you know, I took that week off.
And okay, perfect.
Be there for the entire week, so I'll be there from day one to the last day. I'm not gonna be doing touch and go this time. I'm gonna be with you guys for the entire time. So
gonna see Fabio partying. So we're planning to see if we can make that happen. We're planning with Fabio, if it's possible. You're gonna bring his heavy metal band down. Let's see if it's gonna happen. And we're gonna have a night where we're gonna have like a music, and possibly we're gonna have a little barbell competition during that night.
Not to change the subject so much. I know we have to be done here, but Fabio, something I wanted to ask you was your music choice during the workshop. It was my favorite band, one of my favorite bands ever. I think you had Avenged Sevenfold playing for 4 hours. Now, I was in a band my whole life from 13 to about 19 years old, and that band was one of my biggest influences. So just to kind of hear that at your workshop, I was like, wow, that's the universe speaking to me in music form. So I mean, if you got a couple of minutes, talk to me about your music background and your band and how you got into that music.
Well, okay. So actually, I was in a band since I was 15 years old. Awesome. And not as a singer. I was actually the guy in charge of listening to the lyrics and writing it on paper for the singer.
Okay.
Because I speak English, right? And at the time, no internet. So unless you could buy a vinyl with the lyrics, no one would understand lyrics. And the singer of the band did not speak English. So I would have to write the words the way they are pronounced by an Italian guy. Then the singer got sick. And so they asked me, hey, you know the song, can you just sing it? And I said, okay. I had no background at all. But I started this, right? So then I went to school a little bit, and I'd never been a great singer. But at the time, you know, we had this band. We were, you know, in our teens, right? And we would play over weekends in clubs, local clubs, and so on. We also had we have a NATO base here in Italy, and in my town, we had a contract with them. We played for the militaries, you know, once a month. And we would, you know, get some extra money by having fun, you know, then hanging out with girls after the
hell yeah.
I did that until I left for the military base, basically. Now all the guys I play with they all have a band or multiple bands. They're all, you know, some teach music, some have different jobs, but they're all really good musicians. I'm the only one who's basically an amateur singer. But, you know, they like the fact that I just make a lot of noise, do a good show. So we don't actually play live anymore because I'm involved, you know, teaching every weekend. But what we do, we meet every once in a while and just do a jam session. And then when we have some events here, for instance, we will have an open day here, Strongfest Open Day. We have 200 people joining in January. Or when we do some certs, like we did a cert in June, what we do basically, we just, you know, gather together a couple of times. We get a set list. Each one of us studies the songs, and we just play, basically improvise for
beautiful. You know,
and we're, you know, we're from metal from the 80s. So we play all the Iron Maiden, you know, Judas Priest, Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, Ronnie James Dio, Manowar stuff, you know, all that stuff.
Cool. ACD,
of course, and so on. There's not only me singing, you know, it's because we're a bunch of friends who, so we have guest guitar players, guest drummer, guest singers. We just make some noise for a couple of hours and have some fun. The guys are good at playing, so they basically, no one notices I'm not a good singer.
That's awesome, dude. Well, thank you for sharing that story. I love music and writing and playing music. I think it's awesome. It's another thing that I do on top of the fitness stuff that keeps my mind sharp and keeps me in rhythm. And it's wonderful to hear other people having the same passion. When is the next Strong First workshop? Where are you going to be next? Where can people find information about that?
Well, strongfirst.com, that's an easy one, or my Instagram, xfab_69, and we're having a free open day in Naples this weekend, so we got 200 people sign up for that, and we're going to have this free day of instruction, and then I'm taking a pause until the end of January. Got nothing going on, so I will take a little bit of rest. But right now, I don't want to take any attention away from Human Fit. So, Human Fit.
Guys, no, love it.
Wherever you are, wherever you are, Italy, Europe, US, Asia, come and join. Not only for the contents of the Congress, you know, and of the week, not only for the contents of the great coaches will be there. They alone, they're a good reason to be there, but also for where it's happening in Vieste. You know, it's such a wonderful little town. As you know, Maurizio came back there, you know, after over 30 years having been there. I used to spend my vacations there when I was a kid. And it's such so amazing. I went there for the event, right? And I got to the hotel. I did my lesson. I booked for summer right away.
Awesome.
And then I drove back to Poland. So
great.
I don't want to take attention from that. I want to meet everyone who's listening. I want to meet everyone there. It was in May.
Wonderful.
That'll be nice. That'll be awesome. Yeah.
Just gonna
work. All right. Let's we'll wrap it up here. Dude, Fabio, this was a really fun time chatting with you, picking your brain and just kind of seeing how you process information and getting some of that, you know, here on the podcast to share with everybody. Maurizio, as always, thank you so much for your time. This was so fun. I always look forward to podcasts. And next week, Maurizio, we got to get on the horn and find our next guest and keep promoting this up. So my name is Danny Cola, Danny Cola Fitness. Thank you so much, you guys. This was fantastic.
Danny, before you hit stop, one comment, you know. I saw one thing you did that I said, okay, this guy has an Italian background. He comes from Italy. At some certain point, you did.
And for people who are just listening, he put his fist up with like,
Italian emoji. The Italian emoji. Listening,
right? What, which is what in Italy means, what do you want?
Yeah.
And if you double, what the hell do you want? So, yes, I thought you were recording also the video so people will see it on YouTube.
Yeah, I got them both. But sometimes, like, I put the audio just on, you know, all streaming platforms, basically. But the YouTube videos I clip out for, you know, the small bites on YouTube Shorts and Instagram, TikTok and all those apps. So, but yeah, just people listening, I made my Italian emoji fist just like, what do you want? You know, what are you doing? but yeah, man, this was so fun. Really, really good time. I appreciate it. So that's it, everybody. Hopefully you enjoyed the podcast. All love.
Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast, everybody. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe and share this episode with somebody that you love. Check out the podcast and clips of the episodes of the podcast on YouTube at Danny Cola TV. And if you're not already following my Instagram and TikTok at Danny Cola Fitness for quick fitness clips, quick podcast clips, all for your entertainment when it comes to fitness and total human optimization in general. Follow Maurizio Tangari on Instagram at unconventional.republic. Also, give his fitness products a try. You have the HydroCore water bag that you could buy at onit.com. Use promo code DANNYCOLA for 10% off. And on Amazon right now, you can get the newest product, which is the Hydra. It is a water barbell plate that you can put on barbells. You can put on top of your Adex steel mace, club, or arc. It's an amazing product that gives different types of weight variability with moving water through different ranges of motion. And I think definitely adds benefit to the human body, improves coordination, improves balance, improves rotational power and strength. So there you have it, everybody. Thank you so much. All love. We'll see you soon.